Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Mel.
Hey, Taylor.
So, my dog keeps barking every time there's someone at the door.
Oh, yeah, does it?
Don't know why. It's almost never for her.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Book, book, hello.
Book, hello. Wow, that's probably the slowest I've been on a joke
to date. I was
going to
say that, but I didn't know if it was insulting. That's probably the longest you've ever taken.
That took me a long time, but it was funny.
The dog, she barks on the door, but it's not for her.
For,
Ha, ha, ha. Welcome back to the Floof and Popper podcast. I'm Taylor.
Hi, I'm Mel.
We're going to talk about dogs.
Heck yeah. Thanks for tuning in again,
you
guys.
The lame joke portion is over. So, have you got a story for us?
Oh, boy, do I. And it is certainly not as lame.
Do it.
Although, look, that joke wasn't lame. I was just slow.
It wasn't not lame.
Well, yeah. So, today I oop. Oop. I'm on laughingsquid.com.
A classic.
On an article that producer Zane sent through a little while ago.
Thanks, producer Zane.
Thanks, buddy. And it says, or rather it's called, Service Dogs in Training Attend a Private Performance of Billy Elliot to Learn Proper Theatre Behaviour.
Cute.
Have we done this one before?
I think maybe. I don't, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. And then I looked through our notes and then...
Nothing on it?
No, I don't know.
All right, let's proceed.
You guys, I don't know if we've talked about this before. And I'm sorry. I have a track record of talking about things I've talked about before. But I got really excited because the photo is bunch of dogs in a theater.
So cute.
You can only see their tiny little faces poking over the seats and it's real cute.
Cute.
Does it look too familiar?
It looks familiar to me, but maybe I just read the article.
Yeah. Well, it's an article by Laurie Dorn. Again, terrible accent. Yeah, D-O-R-N. Yeah, so an adorable, well-mannered group of pups in Meaford, Ontario, Canada.
Oh.
Ontario. Who are training to become part of the team at K9 Country Inn Service Dogs attended a private, relaxed stage performance of Billy Elliot, the musical, at the Stratford Festival.
Wow.
Cute.
Cute.
While the dogs may have enjoyed the wonderful music and dancing within the show, they were actually there to sit quietly and learn proper theatre behaviour.
Oh, I thought they were meant to like watch the show to learn about theatre.
Oh.
Not like practice being in a theatre. I get it now.
Yeah.
That's,
as much as I like
sense.
To think that they would take
I
in.
Thought they were just like watching the musical and being like, ballet, I get it.
Mm.
I was like, wow, that's very advanced. But no, that
theatre
that
etiquette.
Makes sense.
Yeah, which I would put some humans through that course, to be honest.
Yep, honestly.
The number of people on Broadway that I've been like, hey, please turn off your phone. I'm trying to watch a show is ridiculous. Anyway, all of these dogs have a very important job to do. Outings like this truly benefit their training and prepare them for many activities and distractions they will face when working with their handlers. The relaxed performances of the Stratford Festival are specific showings for people who need greater theatre accessibility or accommodations and provides reduced noise, lighting and startling effects during the performance. So relaxed performances are specifically designed to welcome patrons who will benefit from a less restricted audience environment. Patrons of all abilities are welcome, including but not limited to those with intellectual or learning disabilities, sensory processing conditions, or autism. There is a relaxed attitude to noise and movement within the auditorium, and some minor production changes may be made to reduce the intensity of light, sound, and other potentially startling effects. Babes in arms are also welcome to our relaxed performances. Great idea. Love that.
Yep, totally.
Also, dogs. Dogs are there too.
Dogs!
It's not just a performance. For dogs, it's for people with dogs, but I like to think it's for the dogs
just
too.
The dogs.
Babes in arms and dogs in arms. Oh, that's it. And then it's just a bunch of cute photos, which you can check out at the Stratford Festival Facebook page or Twitter page, and on mr.puppysmith at Instagram to see this really precious photo. What is an Instagram? Yeah, it's just, it's real precious. It's just a quick little story about these dogs at the theater. The photos are just precious. You can also check out at K9 Country Inner. Oh no, the thing I said before, K9 Country in Service Dogs on Instagram. Super cute theater dogs. I love that. Love theater. I love dogs.
What?
New information.
Also, Mark Hamill. If you know Mark Hamill.
I do. Who is that?
He is. Do you know him?
Yeah, I do. But what's he in?
So he's an actor.
Star Wars?
Is he in Mark Hamill? Is he in Mark Hamill?
Yeah, Star Wars, from Star Wars.
Who is he in Star
Wars? He's Luke Skywalker in Star Wars.
Oh my God. Yes. I know what you're talking about. Yep.
That's why I was like, isn't he a Star Wars dude?
Yeah. The Mark Hamill actually shared the photo of the dogs poking their heads over the seats on Twitter. And this article says, the fabulously witty Mark Hamill previously wryly commented about the empty seats while promoting a musical for dogs.
Classic.
He just said, the empty seats would be understandable if this was a performance of Cats, because it's just the dogs and then empty seats.
Cute. Lol.
Cute. Yeah, that's it. That's my story. Hey, theater dogs. I just love them so much.
What? Sorry, it's still stuck in my head. I had to get it out.
It's a very specific reference.
If you're on TikTok, it's not. It's totally normal.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so do you remember 2 weeks ago I was... Sorry, are you done with your story? You looked at me like you weren't done.
Oh, no. I was just like, 2 weeks ago is hard to remember.
Do you remember 2 weeks ago I was talking about the Bichon Frise?
Yeah.
And in the middle of it, I got distracted by the Coton du Tulier.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the Coton du Tulier.
Heck yeah.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right because it's hectic French.
Tulia?
Probably. Like
maybe Tulia is a name rather than something you...
Yeah, that Frenchy. Sounds probably better. Anyway, sweet and cuddly dog breed with a clownish personality.
Clownish. That's a new one. I like that.
Cute, right? The Coton de Tulia is always ready for a good time. Hell yeah. This smart little dog with the cottony coat originated in Madagascar. And is
no
related.
Way.
Yeah.
Again, not a dog I would have imagined from
Madagascar.
Somewhere like that.
Yeah. Which is technically Africa.
Yes.
Madagascar's an African country.
Also, how do you originate a dog in just like this
island.
Random island?
It must have evolved from
the lemurs.
I don't know. Don't think it evolved from lemurs.
There you go.
Whatever's in Africa. Probably the wolves on the island, I guess.
African wild dogs.
Wild dogs.
Madagascar doesn't have a particularly
wolves?
Like
I don't know.
They don't, yeah, the, I don't know. Nature on Madagascar is very specific because they're so isolated. But anyway.
And related to the Bichon Frise and
love
the Maltese.
It. Cute.
Cute as heck. So for the smart and sweet natured Coton for short, the perfect day consists of nothing more than being with his person, whether it's lying at her feet while she works, following her from room to room, not even the bathroom is sacred, or going for a ride to Starbucks.
Oh, cute.
So specific. This small, long-haired, cottony-coated dog was never bred to be anything but a companion. And to this day, that's what they do best. So they cock their head intently when spoken to and will even try to answer back. So there you go. They must have been bred on the island of Madagascar.
Yeah.
They mustn't be that old.
Yeah,
wild.
Let me have a quick look.
Yeah, history. The large island of Madagascar, located off the southeast coast of Africa in the Indian Ocean, is home to many unusual creatures, but one of them has become a beloved export throughout the world, soft and shaggy cotton. probably came to a member of the Bichon family who probably came to Madagascar as long as several hundred years ago.
Wow.
So it sounds like the Bichon was taken to Madagascar,
yes.
Then they breeded.
Yes,
cottons,
that makes sense.
And took them. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
it's said that little white dogs either accompanied ladies on long sea voyages or were used as ratters on ships.
Cute.
It's also claimed that the dogs were beached on Madagascar after being the sole survivors of a shipwreck.
Oh.
A bit tragic, but anyway.
There's a movie about that somewhere.
Yes. Coton de Tullia takes its name not only from its cotton-like coat, but also from the seaport city of Tullia, now known as... I can't read that. My eyesight's going.
Oh, you and me both, huh?
I don't have my glasses on. Toliara, located on the island nation of Madagascar where the breed originated.
Yeah.
He's related to Bichon Frise and Maltese, but own distinct style.
Right.
So people who love the Coton praise the intelligence, sociability, and easy care coat. They're an observant dog who quickly learn routines and adapt to the person's needs. So they sleep while you're busy, one eye cracked so they can follow you if you leave the room. And they're known as a good and flexible traveler, perhaps a remnant of their seafaring days when they accompanied ladies by making long journeys by ship.
Ah, yes, the ladies. The ladies. Puppers.
I was looking for a ship dog like weeks ago and I couldn't find one.
Oh, really?
Here it is, yeah. So when it's playtime, the Coton will bring his favorite toy to you and for a rousing game of fetch. They love to go on walks, but the exercise needs aren't excessive, which is good if you're short on time.
Mm-hmm.
Playing inside or in a fenced yard will just as easily satisfy the need for activity as long as they have plenty of human companionship. And because of their desire to please, they excel in activities such as obedience and agility.
Cool.
They like to talk to people using their own special language of unique vocalizations, including grunts and growls, and they'll love it when you talk back.
Cute.
So good if you're lonely for a conversation.
I love a vocal dog.
Me too.
They're so cute.
Soft shaggy coat looks difficult to care for, but once the adult coat's grown in, the dirt falls out easily while brushing. So brushing 3 or 4 times weekly and bathing as needed will keep them clean. So whatever makes them happy, you happy makes them happy.
Precious. Basically.
They're smart and take well to training. They're a hardy dog, but a companion breed who should live indoors usually.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly well suited to apartment living.
Mm.
Sorry, they are going to be slightly similar, obviously, to the Bichon Frise.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to explore a little different.
Yeah.
The puppies need extra grooming while their adult coats are coming in, usually between 7 and 15 months of age.
Oh, so specific.
Extra brushing, extra bathing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Never buy a Coton from a puppy mill, a pet store, or a breeder who doesn't provide health clearances or guarantees.
Arguably could say the same for every dog.
Every breed, but especially in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Look for a reputable breeder who tests her breeding dogs to make sure they're free of genetic diseases that they might pass on and who breeds for sound temperaments and who has signed the breed club's code of ethics. Just so you know.
Mm.
They're very, very little. So they're little bobbers. And that's pretty much it. The rest is pretty standard.
Mm.
The coat is white, although it might have a few shadings of light grey or red roan, a mixture of white and fawn hairs on the ears. Puppies are born all white or with yellow, brown, rust or black spots on the head and ears, sometimes the body.
I haven't seen any of those pictures.
They disappear when the puppies mature.
So. Yeah, because they're all white, huh?
Yeah, they're usually all white. They say from medium champagne, in light to medium champagne or grey.
Oh, yes, of course.
So then they're never going to be like black.
Yeah. The closest thing I've seen is the champagne or like the grey ears, like a shih tzu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good Cute. With kids, especially if the kids are good with them. Obviously, if you have a kid that is really rough, they're not going to be super great.
Yeah.
But they're fun, loving and energetic enough to be playmates for older children who treat them respectfully. We've talked about that before, how to make kids. sorry.
Nick's the cat.
The cat podcaster has joined the table.
Hello, Nick. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, I think we've talked about that briefly about how to train your kids to adapt to pets and stuff like that.
Yeah, so yeah.
Obviously, make sure, you know, because they're quite a little dog, they're not going to be able to be rough and tumble like some dogs. But if your kid is good with pets, then they'll be fine with the Coton. So. There you go. That's most Cute. Of the specifics there. And everything else is kind of self-explanatory.
They look so ready to cuddle.
They're so cute. And they're just, one of the things I love about them is they're just down for whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So like
a chat.
They're not like a needy.
A chill.
Yeah. They're not like a needy, like, please take me for a walk. Please do this. I need food. They're just like, what are we doing? Are we working today? Are we going out? Like, what's happening? Like, which is kind of ideal for
pretty special.
A lot of us that are really busy. So that's kind of cool.
Cute.
There you go.
Thanks for that. That's precious.
You're welcome. I'm going to enjoy a Freddo because I finished my section.
Do it.
What
Let me
are
tell
you going
to
do?
I'm going to tell you just some basic first aid for dogs.
Nice. Yeah. I don't think we've done anything like that.
Yeah. So I thought it was, I just quite interesting just because I'm going. So I am also a pet sitter registered through a certain website and through the RSPCA. And for it recently, the RSPCA has made a like qualification course.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is learning dog first aid, which I thought was really interesting. That's really cool. Yeah. So in saying that, I'm on the Blue Cross website, which is a UK animal charity.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about basic first aid for dogs.
Nothing too gory, please.
No, I'll try. I'll try not to. I don't want to make it like too serious and too scary. But
I'm
like,
cool
I
with
think,
gory humans, but when it's gory dogs, I'm like,
oh,
no,
you don't. Nuh-uh. Dogs don't deserve that.
So sad.
But yeah, it's like it's the silly season. Things can get a bit hectic. Yeah, it's just good
for
to
sure. People. Sometimes it's just accidents when people yeah. get a bit crazy.
And in general, you want to always consult a vet.
Yes.
But you can just like people. You're not going to take them straight to a doctor if you can do something in the moment to help.
Absolutely.
Before taking them to a doctor. But anyway, yeah. So I was having a little look online, and lots of people sell. First aid kits, dog first aid kits, which is really cool, including the RSPCA. You can send them your phone number and they'll get in contact with you to send you a first aid kit, which is really cool.
For free?
Maybe.
That's cool.
I think the Victorian.
Definitely go check it out.
Yeah, the Victorian RSPCA, I think, might have had that offer. Whether it's still happening.
Go check out your options, but just yeah. beware of dodgy sites that are like, we'll send you this. Just make sure it's something reputable.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would definitely recommend going to your vet and assembling something.
Yeah. And if you are assembling your own, here's what it should include. Bandages, like yep. a roll of self-adhesive or crepe bandage about 5 centimeters in width.
Mm-hmm.
Conforming / open weave bandages, which is 2.5 centimeters in width. Some non-adhesive absorbent dressings to cover open wounds. Surgical sticky tape, a box of cotton wool, a box of sterile absorbent gauze. That's yep. how you say gauze.
Yeah, that's yeah. right.
blunt-ended scissors, preferably curved, a thick towel, and an Elizabethan collar, which I only just realized.
I can only imagine is the cone that you put on when you go to the vet, right?
Surely. Elizabeth. It is. The cone that you put yeah. on. That's so funny. I've never heard it called that.
Yeah. I have seen the fabric ones called that.
Oh.
Because you know, you can get actually soft.
I didn't know that.
You can get soft ones that are just like, almost like, you know what my sling was made of? That's not helpful
yes.
to people at home. Like kind of like muslin or something yeah. like that. That just Velcros around the neck.
Oh, brilliant.
Which means they just can't reach
yeah.
the area. But yeah. if it's about like accessibility, I think they need this.
Elizabethan collar.
The firm collar.
I yeah. just imagined a ruff. Just like an Elizabethan ruff. You know, like huh? the fancy. You know how I think it's the ruff?
Yeah, I think that's what it means.
Yeah, but it's like, the plastic collar. I'm at a literal
so now you're picturing
costume
that on a dog.
Yes.
Okay. Right. I was like, I think that's what we're talking. I think we're talking about the same thing.
So I imagine a bunch of different dog first aid kits might also come with medicine, but probably not many because every dog is different and you have to consult a vet for that stuff.
Yeah. Also, I was thinking when you were reading out the width of the bandages,
yeah.
I would imagine that differs depending on the size of your dog.
Yes.
If you have a little dog, you might need something smaller. If you have a big dog,
yeah.
You might need something bigger. And also if you have a variety of dogs, like I know some people have little dogs, big dogs,
mm-hmm.
you might need assorted
a couple
bandages. So again, check yeah. in with your vet for what they recommend.
And some of these kits that they sell online will specify small, medium or large dog. So that's
yes.
good to know.
Which is cool.
So, Blue Cross says, every year, hundreds of dogs in the UK are involved in road accidents, suffer from heat stroke, or swallow poisonous substances. But knowing what to do in an emergency could save your pet's life. So, dogs and emergency situations. First, of course, like in any first aid, ensure the safety of yourself and others. Keep calm, assess the situation before acting. Injured animals are frightened and in pain. Oh, and may try to bite anyone who touches
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. Even yeah. if it's your dog, even if you've had them for 10 years,
yeah.
even if they know you front to back, they still might lash out when they're in pain. So
yeah.
don't take it personally. Just make sure you're safe first.
People are the same.
You can't help your dog if you're injured as well.
Yeah. People are the same. Any kind of trauma, you'll act differently under the stress. Of course, contact the vet. Keep your vet's phone number to hand and know the name of the practice. And always phone first, whatever the situation, as there may not always be a vet available, but staff may be able to suggest immediate action you can take if you don't know yourself already. This is actually a good tip. Have a pen handy in case another number is given, in case they give you someone else to talk to to help.
Which
that's a good idea.
Happens.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating when you ring sometimes a helpline, or like sometimes you ring a poison helpline and they'll put you through to somebody else, and then they'll put you through to somebody else, and they'll put you through to the... So yeah, it might be handy to have a piece of paper, or maybe, I don't know, sometimes people have an iPad handy so they can type out a number or...
Yeah.
That can be good.
Then if there is a risk of biting, put a muzzle on the dog or wrap tape around the or bandage around the nose and then tie it behind the ears, unless the dog has difficulty breathing. Small dogs may be restrained by putting a thick towel over their heads. Oh dear. Obviously, but worth saying, never give human medicines to a dog.
Never, ever.
Don't do that.
Many, not the same thing, not the same dose, not the same... digestive system.
Mm-mm.
Don't do it.
Many will do more harm than good. Do not offer food or drink in case anesthetic is needed.
Yes. Which sucks. Yeah. I have had days where I felt sick at 10 o'clock in the morning and then they wouldn't let me eat anything for the whole day because then I had to have surgery, but not until 10 o'clock at night.
Oof.
And I was so hungry.
Yeah.
But you got to do it because it's so much harder to operate if there's something in their system.
For sure.
So, make sure you, unfortunately, just hold off on giving them treats or anything.
Yeah. There's a little section here called, is your dog in need of emergency care? Sometimes outside normal hours, it is difficult to decide whether urgent attention is needed. You can always call and ask for advice. You should phone the vet if your pet seems weak, is reluctant to get up, or is dull and depressed. There is difficulty breathing, or it is noisy or rapid, or if there is continual coughing causing distress. If there is repeated vomiting, particularly with young or elderly animals. If your dog appears to be in severe pain or discomfort. If your pet is trying to urinate or defecate and is unable to. That's scary. That's a bit of a scary situation. Blockage of the bladder occurs, especially in males, and can kill if your pet is not treated urgently. If there are sudden difficulties with balance, or if a female dog, I don't think I can actually say the word for female dog on the podcast, but if a female dog.
Not if you, use it in the right context, I think it's fine.
I don't know, I'm a sook. if a female dog with suckling puppies is agitated, shaking and shivering and will not settle. It could be eclampsia, which needs urgent treatment. So, it gives a few kind of examples. We'll give you the link in the show notes to have a look through. So I'll just give you a few because it's quite a solid list. But obviously the first one, as mentioned by the Blue Cross, is road accidents. So prevention is better than cure. Even a well-behaved dog should be kept on a lead anywhere near traffic, including slow-moving vehicles. Do not have the collar so loose that the dog can get free. If the worst happens, beware of other cars. Talk gently to the dog as you approach. Move slowly and avoid making sudden movements. Put a lead on if possible and, if necessary, a muzzle before handling. If your dog can walk, go to the vet, even if there appears to be no pain. There may be internal injuries that are not immediately obvious.
Or they could be in shock and just...
Oh, for sure.
Numb. And acting like normal, which happens to humans all the time, is we go, oh my God, I think I'm fine. And then
it's adrenaline.
Day later, you find out it's actually really bad.
Yeah.
So don't trust them. Better to just get it checked out.
Do you reckon that vaguely happened with your wrist?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Taylor's wrist is still in the cast, folks.
So I've broken my wrist and it was misdiagnosed. So I went to the hospital when I broke it and they were like, oh, it's fine. I think it's just a sprain. But because it had only happened like 3 hours ago, I was like, oh, okay. And then 4 days later, we looked at it and it was like huge and puffy and gray. And I was really nauseous. And they were like, yeah, no, that's not sprained. That's broken. That's broken as hell. And I was like, aha. So yes.
Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen.
Yeah.
And to your dog.
Don't always trust your first instinct of, oh my God, they're fine. It's going to be okay. Yeah. Because sometimes it's not fine. And sometimes it's just better to get checked out.
Be cautious. Walk on the safe side. Speaking of which, if the dog cannot walk, small dogs can be picked up by placing one hand at the front of the chest and the other under the hindquarters. Improvise a stretcher for large dogs with a coat or a blanket.
Clever.
Yeah. If the dog is paralyzed, there may be a spinal injury, so try and find something rigid, such as a board. Slide the patient, puppy patient, gently onto this if possible. Cover with a blanket to reduce heat loss. We've got first aid for a bleeding dog, which I'm mainly not talking about because bleeding makes me sad, but do read about it. It's important.
Do read about it.
All those bandages in the first aid kit are there for a reason.
It's important to know, like, as much as, I mean, some of you are driving home maybe, or you're on the bus, you probably don't want to listen to goriness, yeah. But if you have a dog, it's important to know these things.
For sure.
Definitely go look up and read through really quickly and then forget about it until you need the information.
Yeah. First aid for dogs with broken bones. Deal with serious bleeding, but do not apply a splint. It is painful and can cause the bone to break through the skin, which is a little bit gory. Sorry.
And remember, a lot of our dogs have much thinner skin than we do.
Yeah.
So it's probably much more likely that your dog will break through the skin than when ours do.
The main thing to remember, I think, for dog first aid is that it's going to be quite dissimilar to human first aid.
Totally.
Which seems like it might not be that obvious, or it might be very obvious, but just keep that in mind. Do your research, listen to our podcast, etc. First aid for
just
we've got
into my microphone with my ear and I don't really know how
hello. We've got first aid for burns and scalds, which
just don't burn your dog.
Yeah, but if the worst happens, run cold water over the burns for at least 5 minutes, then contact the vet. Do not apply ointments or creams. As we said, don't apply random stuff you don't know will help. If there is going to be a delay getting to the vets, you can apply saline soaked dressing to the area and make sure to keep the patient warm. I know your first instinct might not be wrap my burnt creature up in a blanket, but...
Can't actually get too cold if you put too much cold on it.
Heat loss does happen. Poison first aid for dogs is kind of similar to people. You want to find the packaging from the substance swallowed and have it with you when you phone the vet. This includes things like chocolate and stuff that the dog shouldn't be eating. If chewing plants is suspected, try to find out the identity of the plant. So take a photo.
Who are you, plant? What's your identity?
Interrogate the plant. Ask it questions. Send it into an existential spiral and then call the vet. Call the vet immediately, actually. Good point. Don't make your dog sick unless the vet tells you to. Don't just like immediately make your dog throw it up.
Stick your fingers down their throat. Yeah.
It may... It feel like a good idea because it's like, oh, get it out immediately, but you don't know what's going on.
And do call the vet because a lot of times they'll give you advice over the phone.
Yeah.
Like I had an issue with Zola once. I was looking after her. I didn't know whether she needed the vet or not. I rang them and they were like, well, this is what it could be. These are the signs to look out for. If it gets worse, bring her. If not, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
So like they're not horrible people. They're not going to send you a $400 bill if you just ask them.
Not at all.
And if they say, look, I think you should bring them in, it's probably best just to bring them in.
Yeah. We've also got first aid for dogs with a swollen tummy.
No.
First aid for dogs with a ball stuck in their throat, which it does happen. Dogs are silly.
Especially ping pong balls, am I right?
Oh, yeah. Those are not safe.
Am I right?
First aid for dogs with coat contamination, like paint or tar getting into the coat. And then I wanted to go over this one for sure because Australia and it's hot and... It's December, so it's going to be extra hot. First aid for dogs with heat stroke. So if on a warm or hot day, your dog is panting heavily and is distressed, and especially, oh, this is, by the way, a good time to mention dog body language again. Always be familiar with that. Things like panting, licking lips, that kind of stuff is all or can all be pointing towards a distressed animal. And especially if the dog is short-nosed, example, a boxer or a mastiff, overweight or has been playing or exercising, think heatstroke. Put the dog somewhere cool, preferably in a draft.
And that's what had happened that day with Zola. And I thought she was sick or something was wrong with her. And she actually just had a really bad heatstroke.
Oh, Bubba.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's sick. But really, she just needed like some water under her nose, some cool air, and she was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You can wet the coat with tepid water. So you don't want cold water because it contracts the blood vessels in the skin and slows heat loss.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting fact. And of course, like Taylor did, phone the vet. Of course, offer small amounts of water.
If you can do something instant, like put some aircon on or fan or something, which was my mistake, is just that I was feeling really hot and I thought, oh, I won't turn the aircon on, I'll save some money. And I just had to let it get too hot for both of us. So if you can make it the room instantly a little bit cooler, that will help as well.
Along a similar thought, this is not in the article, but it's something I've seen circulating. If it's really hot and you're feeling the need to take your dog out on a walk, fair enough, for exercise, a handy trick if you are walking on bitumen or road or pavement, if you can't keep your hand on the pavement for longer than 5 minutes, your dog can't walk on that. Your dog's going to burn his little feet.
Yes, I have seen that. I usually will do that in the summer. I usually try and wait till 4 or 5 to go for a walk, or early if you're an early riser. But if not, and you need to go during the middle of the day, that's a great test.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, prevention better than cure.
Hold your hand down properly and see if you can, if it feels a little bit hot, then it's probably way too hot for your dog.
For sure. Other things we have is first aid for a dog having a fit, first aid for dogs with eye injuries, drowning, dogs in fights, dogs that have been shocked. Oh, no. Dogs that have been stung, which obviously...
Oh, that happens a lot. Living in Australia, we get a lot of stung animals.
Obviously, it's a bad thing, but the photos that come out of it are cute.
Kind of adorable.
Yeah. Little puffy-faced dogs, poor things.
Yeah.
And then to finish up, I just wanted to go through basic dog resuscitation.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, it's a thing I know people will maybe laugh at, but if you have a pet, you know how important it is to know how to look after them. So here's how you do it, all right? It's going to be a bit gross, but like just do it if you need to. Put the animal on their side. Check that breathing has definitely stopped. For example, hold a wisp of fur to the nostrils or hair or just something so that you can see that it's going. Open the mouth, pull the tongue forwards and check for obstructions such as blood. Be careful not to get bitten when removing any material. If breathing doesn't start, extend the head, the nose pointing forwards. Hold the mouth closed and blow into the nose, so not the mouth, obviously, about 20 times a minute. If you cannot feel a heartbeat, push on the chest just behind the front legs every second. Give 2 breaths into the nose for every 15 compressions on the chest. If this is unsuccessful after 3 minutes, recovery is unlikely. Of course, that's a dire end, but again, call the vet. This stuff can change. I know human first aid has kind of changed recently. This one was last updated on the 22nd of August 2019. So if you're listening to this way in the future or it's been a few months, which it has been, we're in December.
Make sure you check a recent article.
Yeah.
Can I also add?
Yeah, please.
When I was doing actually a human first aid course recently, they've changed the law so that you don't, whatever it is, you don't have to do mouth to mouth anymore.
Yes, this is true.
So especially if it's not your dog, if you're rescuing a dog that's maybe at the park, if it's a dog you find, if you're not comfortable, you don't know where this dog's from, you don't know what diseases it might have or where it's been, do not feel compelled to give it mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
You can still do CPR without it.
Yes.
So you can still do the chest compressions. You can still try and remove any obstructions. Do not feel like you have to do the breath compressions.
Yeah.
If you still want to help, but you're a bit wary of where the dogs come from, that's another option. Or even your dog. If you don't feel comfortable putting your mouth on your dog, you don't have to. You can still do chest compressions without the breathing. You can still be successful in CPR. So I just thought I'd put that out there
if people are
hesitant about touching other dogs. But if you want to do something, still do your chest compressions.
Just for sure.
Mouth to mouth is not always necessary.
Yeah. Our first rule of first aid is make sure you are safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a bit of a serious one, but I think it's very important and we haven't talked about it before. So
yeah, good call. Good catch.
Some sweet tips. Check that out on our show notes to get like the full list and the full kind of information. Obviously look it up your own as well. Anything updated, anything you think might be different, just have a look. Get some tips from your vet, that kind of thing. But yeah, that's it. That's it from me.
Lovely. If you want to check us out on our socials, we're at Floof and Popper Podcast, FLOOFPUPPER. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can send us an email at floofandpopperpodcast@gmail.com.
Do it.
Thanks to That's Not Canon Productions for having us once again. You can check them out on Facebook or Instagram at TNC Podcasts and go check out some other great shows on the network.
Woohoo!
The end.
The end. Thanks for tuning in. Give your dog a cuddle for us.
Yes.
Oh, it's so great to hang out with you guys every week. Have a really great rest of your week. We love you.
Book, book, goodbye.
Book, book, goodbye.
The Disney vs. Disney Debates podcast is all about finding the answer to one simple question. What is the best Disney movie of all time? Maybe the question isn't that simple. So join us every Saturday as hosts from all across That's Not Canon fight for their movies in one-on-one debates moderated by me, Zane C. Weber, in order to decide once and for all which of Disney's beloved classics or recent hits will take the crown.
Mine.
Save it for the show. Available now on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you find podcasts.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.